To the men, living and dead, who did these things, we dedicate this program,
The Dambusters,
presented by the author himself, Paul Brickhill, dramatized by Morris West, an Australasian radio production.
Good evening, this is Paul Brickhill. Of all the pilots of 617 Squadron, none had been more closely identified with it since the beginning than Mickey Martin. The fact that it was a suicide squadron suited his temperament, and his great skill in low-level flying had been a boon to 617. Cheshire knew that the Australian would not take kindly to the order that he must not fly again. Cheshire was right.
Come in.
Hello, Skipper.
Hello, Mick. I thought you were on leave. What the devil are you doing down here?
I just came down to pick up some gear and say goodbye to the boys.
You look as though it was a good leave.
It was. Oh, by the way, Skipper, you owe me a quid.
Do I? What for?
Matter of a small bet, remember? £10 to 1 I'd be flying again.
The hell you are. Well, what's the job? Does Cochrane know about it?
No, but I'll break your ruddy neck if it ever gets to him.
Well, it's your own neck, Mick. What's the job?
Night fighters.
Night fighters? But you're a bomber man.
Any port in a storm, Skipper. There's a mosquito squadron doing intruder work over Germany. They were short of a pilot, and I'm it. I'm not officially transferred from headquarters, just seconded in an advisory capacity.
Well, I'll be damned. Well, good luck, Mick.
Thanks, Skipper. But for God's sake, don't tell Cochrane.
I've been going through these reports of yours, Cheshire. There's a lot of reading in them.
Well, sir, I can boil them down to 3 main points. The first one is that for small targets, like the viaduct, accurate marking is absolutely essential.
Hmm. That's fair enough.
By accurate, sir, I mean absolutely pinpoint. If you look at those Anthea photographs, you'll find that the markers and the bombs were all within 5 or 10 feet of the target. Well, that's good, very good by ordinary standards, but it's not good enough.
Yes, I appreciate that. What's your answer?
Sir, I'm absolutely convinced that pinpoint marking can only be achieved by low-level runs.
And I'm equally convinced that with defended targets, it's highly dangerous and extremely wasteful in men and machines.
Well, I agree with that too, sir. There must be a compromise answer.
I agree. There must be. The problem is to find it. What I suggest is that you continue your experiments on lightly defended targets. I'll lay them on for you, and we'll analyze the results of each raid together.
That's fair enough, sir. Now, there's another matter I wanted to discuss with you, sir. Now that Martin and Suggett are no longer with the squadron, we have no flight commanders.
Any suggestions?
One, sir. From a training point of view, I'd like to split the squadron into 3 flights. And I'd like McCarthy, Shannon, and Munro to command them.
McCarthy, Shannon, Munro. They're the last of the old originals, aren't they?
Yes, that's right, sir. Well, they know all the tricks, and they've got the respect of the men.
All right, Cheshire, I'll leave it at that. I'll have their promotions put through immediately. Anything else?
Well, I understand the backroom boys are working on a new bomb for us.
That's right. But I'd rather you didn't know any more about it at the moment.
All right, sir, I'll wait on word from you. Is it one of Wallace's jobs?
That's right, one of Wallace's jobs. I hope it will be the best yet. Nice work. Nice work, Wallace. From 20,000 feet, that's mighty accurate.
It still isn't accurate enough, Cochrane.
Why not?
Well, you may not have noticed, Cochrane, but as the bomb fell, there was a moment when it seemed to topple a little, being deflected slightly.
No, I can't say I did.
Well, you'll have to take my word for it. What happens is that the bomb accelerates in its downward flight until it reaches and passes the speed of sound. At the speed of sound, or near it, the air builds up like a barrier in front. That causes the bomb to topple or waver, and it's deflected from its even course. If you want pinpoint accuracy, we'll have to overcome that in some way.
Have you got any ideas?
A few. But I'd like to work them out on paper first. Give me a week like a good man. I'll contact you then.
Give us a cigarette, Mac, will you?
All right, yeah. What kind do you want? I suppose you think I got Lucky's left.
You've got some American, haven't you?
Where'd
you get them? In hanging on the wax again. Thanks. You got a match?
Yes, I've got a match. Don't you ever buy anything.
Come, Mac. Give us a match. Don't fumble. Give me a match. Look out. Look out for the drink. You're knocking it over. Look out.
Have a lighter. Here you go.
Thanks. Lucky's, they're stale, too. Another drink, Skipper.
No, thanks, David.
Oh, come on, this is a big day, isn't it, Mac? Three promotions in one hit. You can't refuse to drink with your flight leaders.
Yeah, that's right, Skipper. Besides, we can afford to pay for it now.
That's okay. But remember, David's got a wife to look after.
Oh, I can afford that too now, Skipper. Wonderful, isn't it? There's one problem, though.
Oh, what's that?
Dignity. That's the trouble with this outfit. It's got no dignity. Look at McCarthy here, for instance.
Huh? Well, what's the matter with me?
Now,
wait a minute. I shave every morning. I wash behind my ears. And that's more than you do.
It's not enough, Mac. After all, you're a squadron leader now. You've got to look the part.
Look the part, huh? Like this?
He's a wag. Well, the pipe is an improvement. But you shouldn't shove it in your mouth as if it were a cigar. You're a country gentleman now. You've got to look the part.
A country gentleman. Only country gentleman I've seen around here wear cloth caps and hacking jackets and corduroy riding breeches.
Well, it still isn't enough, Mac. You have to have a walking stick and a dog.
Especially a dog.
Hey, wait a minute, Skipper. Now, you know, all this costs money. Now, we got to take this in kind of slow stages. So let's compromise, huh? Now, the pipe, the walking stick, and a dog. Yeah, we got to have a dog.
A big dog.
Okay, I'll get him. When they make me a Winko, I'll get all the other things.
Ah, you're a man after my own heart, Mac. Yeah. I'll come out to the Kentles and help you buy the pup.
No, you don't. I'm going to buy this pup myself.
But you couldn't do it. You wouldn't know which end of the thing barked.
I'm telling you, I'll buy it myself. If I need any advice, I'll ask the skipper. He's the only thing around here that even looks like a gentleman.
That's better. That's a whole lot better. Did you see, Cochrane? No shudder at all.
I saw it, yes. How did you manage it, Wallace?
Oh, it was quite simple, really, when I thought about it. You see, I offset the tail fins so that as the bomb gathers speed, the tail fins revolve. It spins like a top, you see?
The old gyroscope effect.
That's it, precisely. The bomb, as it were, bores through the air barrier and its course is not interrupted. Now, come over here like a good man. I want you to see this casing here. Now, one of the big problems, Cochrane, has been to forge a steel casing that'll withstand the shock of impact at a speed greater than the speed of sound. After all, we've got to make sure that the bomb burrows underground before it explodes.
Yes. Yes, I Yes, I see that.
Now, this casing was designed by Air Commodore Huskisson. He's blind, you know, but there's no one to touch him on the structure of metals. Now, this casing has been put through heat and cold and rough usage tests, and so far it's passed all of them. Now, this is the final test.
But, what exactly are you going to do with it?
Do with it? Well, look, you see? The bomb is standing on its nose. It's filled with RDX, the best explosive we have. We're going to detonate it electrically and photograph the result.
How the devil are you going to photograph a blast like that?
Yes. Yes, that was quite a problem. But we worked it out this way. Now look, over there you see a large mirror. It's well away from the blast, but it'll reflect every detail of it. Now, over there, on the other side, we have a high-speed camera which is trained, not on the bomb, but on the mirror.
Uh-huh.
The photographic experts tell me that we'll get a series of clear images which would be impossible to secure by direct photography. See?
Well, I take off my hat to you, Wattis. I really do.
Now, come on over here like a good chap. You see, we want to be under shelter when this little one blows up. Ready to go?
Ready to go, sir.
Right, prepare to detonate.
Stand by, everybody. Prepare to detonate in 10 seconds from now. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 0.
There you are, Cochrane. All the photographs.
Well, they look like a wonderful job of photography to me, but that's all. What do they tell you?
Well, this one shows the bomb casing swelling like a balloon from the pressure within. That's proof of the tensile strength of this steel casing.
Yes.
And these three show that the blast is evenly distributed round the circumference of the bomb. They prove that the casing is of equal strength throughout.
And that means...
Well, that means, my dear chap, that we are ready to go into production. As soon as we build up a stock of the bombs, your boys can start dropping them.
Wallace was disappointed when he was told to stop work on the 10-tonner, but he put all his considerable energy into the perfection of the scaled-down 12,000-pound version of the earthquake bomb. His tall boy, as he called it. 617 Squadron had used one of Wallace's extraordinary bombs on the dam-busting raid, but they had no inkling that another was being prepared for them. Cheshire was the first to know. Cochrane called him to group headquarters and passed on the news.
I called you here, Cheshire, to let you know that Wallace's bomb has passed its final tests. We're going into production right away.
Well, that's good news, sir. You saw the tests yourself.
I did. Frankly, I was staggered.
When do we start using it?
Well, not yet a while. We've got to build up a stock first. Besides, I'm still not happy about our technique.
Neither am I, sir.
So, I've read for a number of testing operations before we use the new bomb. Now, come over here.
Yes, sir.
Your first target will be here. It's a very large aircraft factory just outside the town of Albert.
France again?
That's right, France. The Germans have done a very big camouflage job in this factory. The whole area is covered with camouflage notes penned with dummy roads and buildings. They've done a marvellous job, and as I see from these photographs, it's quite difficult to identify the factory from the air. Therefore, you and your boys will have to study these photographs until you're blue in the face.
They can identify the surrounding landmarks and come in dead on target.
You realize we've got the same problem as before, sir? There'll be French workers in those buildings and...
Yeah, I'm coming to that. The Prime Minister was emphatic that casualties to French civilians must be avoided.
Then we'll buzz the area as we did before?
Yes, that's right.
What's the flak like?
Oh, fairly light. The Germans are running short of guns and they're obviously relying largely on camouflage.
Well, that's a help anyway.
Anything else?
Oh, no, I don't think so, sir. Oh, we'll need these photographs, of course, for the briefing.
I'll give you a complete intelligence file to take back with you.
When do we go, sir?
We go on May the 2nd.
This is Leader calling A. Apple. My bomb sight is out of order. I want you to come in and mark Munro. Come in and mark Munro. Over.
Okay, Skipper, I'm coming in now. Over. This is A. Apple calling Leader. This is A. Apple calling Leader. Markers down, Leader. Dead on. Over.
Nice work, Munro. This is Leader calling all aircraft. Markers are done. Come in and bomb is ordered. Over.
I've been asked by the AOC to convey his congratulations on last night's operation. So far as the Germans are concerned, the factory is a complete write-off. But, as you know, we're going out again tonight. Our target this time is here, at St. Etienne. It's a needle-bearing factory. It's very small, but it's a vitally important industry.
Just how small, Skipper?
The whole area is 40 yards by 70 yards.
40 by 70?
Oh, but listen, Skipper, the yards and civilian casualties are very high. Too high for my liking.
I know, Mac. They're even higher when you look at this. St. Etienne lies in a narrow valley. The hills on either side are 4,000 feet high. You'll have to slide in between them.
Where's the target?
Right in the middle of a built-up area.
What do they think we are, magicians?
We'll have to be to hit that thing.
Well, I'll be marking for you, so it'll be my responsibility.
What's the Met report?
It's good, but I wouldn't trust it too far.
Well, you never can.
Well, the problem with these valley areas is that you're liable to get heavy cloud at low level. If that's the case, you turn back and come home.
Oh, let's hope the weather's bad, then. I'd like to take my wife to dinner.
Well, all right, chaps. That's all for now. Good luck.
This is Leader calling all aircraft. This is Leader calling all aircraft. The run in is very tricky, chaps. I've made 5 so far, and you can only see the factory at the last moment. I'm going in again now to drop the markers. Wait until I call you before you come in. Over. Captain to bomb aimer. As soon as I spot the target, I'll put her nose right down. Let your bombs go then.
Okay, Skipper, I'm waiting.
Wait for it, bomb aimer. Wait for it. Now!
Markers down, Skipper. They bounced a bit.
Okay, bomb aimer. This is Leader. Come in, Munro. Bomb behind the marker. Bomb behind the marker.
Okay, Skipper, I've got it. Coming in now. He's undershot, Skipper. He's undershot.
Okay, thank you. Come in now, Kel. Come in, Kel.
on, skipper, bang on.
Okay. This is Leader. The rest of you, bombers ordered, aim at the last marker. Repeat, aim at the last marker. Over.
Nice work, Churchill. Very nice work. You saw these, didn't you?
The St. Etienne photographs. Yes, I saw them. The place was wiped out. I think that proves our point, doesn't it, sir?
Yes, Churchill. I think it does.
Well, what next, sir?
Take a look at these.
I don't recognize them, sir.
I didn't think you would. It's the Michelin tire factory at Clermont-Ferrand. It's been partly sabotaged by the French underground. It's still working and turning out 24,000 tires a month.
Well, that makes it quite important.
Quite. Now, as you see, the factory consists of four large buildings. These three here are workshops. This one's the workers' canteen.
Well, it's a clear enough target, sir.
yes, it is. Now, don't jump down my neck when I tell you this, Cheshire, but I have here a cabinet instruction which states that you'll bomb the three workshop buildings and not touch the workers' canteen.
Oh, no, sir, that's crazy.
I agree, Cheshire, I agree, but here's the instruction. The cabinet takes the view that if we spare the canteen, it will be an amazing piece of propaganda.
It'll also be a damn miracle.
In my own view, precisely, Cheshire. However, I've been working on a bombing plan, and I'd like you to take a look at it. Come over here.
Now, look here, sir. Bombing plan or no bombing plan, Cabinet is asking the impossible. They're asking our boys to go in and risk their lives to create a piece of propaganda. Well, I'm prepared to talk to Cabinet myself. Well,
I'm afraid you'll have to go through a lot of offices to go through before you got there, Cheshire. Now, I think we've got part of the answer for you. We've borrowed six Lancasters from 106 Squadron. We are equipped with new radar gear. And they're flying to a crossbeam and mark for you. I think I can guarantee their accuracy. Then you come in and mark again, just for safety, and bomb the workshops.
Sir, if there ever looked to be a sticky job, this one's it. Anyway, we'll do the best we can. I can't promise any more.
This is Leader calling all aircraft. I can see the target now. It's quite brightly lit with marker flares. I'll make three dummy runs to warn the workers, then I'll come in and drop some more markers. But for God's sake, watch the canteen. Over. This is Leader. This is Leader. My last markers drop short. Bomb in front of it. Okay, come in, Munro. Over.
Coming in now, Skipper. Bang on, Skipper, bang on.
Nice work. Come in, Shannon. Over.
Coming in, Skipper.
You go, Davy. Come in, Mac. Take the third workshop. Over.
We'll wrap it up and take it home, Skipper. Slap in the middle. Now tell me I'm a good boy.
You're a very good boy, Mac. This is Leader. Home you go, chaps. Home you go.
Thank you.
Memorandum to Air Minister from AOC Bomber Command. I have pleasure in forwarding for your information. Copies of reconnaissance photographs taken after the recent raid on the Michelin factory. The Air Minister will note, with, I hope, as much satisfaction as I have, that while the remainder of the factory is a total ruin, the workers' canteen, visible in the left-hand lower corner, is completely untouched.